Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have updates on coronavirus, including dorm closures at University of Montana, remote church service, and what nurses think the response to COVID-19 should be. It's Tuesday, March 24th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl.
With Montana News, I'm Corin Cates-Carney.
And I'm Nikki Ouellette. As of 7 p.m. Monday, Montana is reporting 45 confirmed cases of the COVID-19 illness.
State lawmakers say amid financial uncertainty around the world, Montana is in good shape, with $464 million in its savings account.
More and more government offices, from Fish, Wildlife, and Parks down to city halls, are closing to the public. Businesses are setting up their employees to work from home.
We're actually recording this in our homes. I'm standing in my bedroom closet right now.
And I'm in my car. The Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court is asking city and county judges to consider releasing as many offenders as they can from jail. That's to prevent the spread of the new coronavirus there.
Last week, we asked you, our listeners, to send us your coronavirus questions.
And so many of you did. Thank you.
Several people asked about self-quarantining and social distancing. Is it still necessary, and what does it mean?
And pretty much everything that we've heard, from national scientists looking at the molecular structure of the virus all the way to our local public health officials, is yes, it is still necessary. COVID-19 is a brand new disease. Nobody has immunity, and we don't have a cure. We still don't know how fast it moves, how deadly it is. This is literally the first time we've seen this thing. There's no history or case studies for us to look at. Bob Merchant is the chief medical officer at Billings Clinic. He specializes in pulmonary care and the intensive care unit. He was speaking at a press conference late last week.
80% of people do very well, and they just have mild symptoms. There are some people that don't have any symptoms at all. But then there are some people, unfortunately, that get critically ill from this, and others that get severe disease. So we're talking maybe 5% of the people that come down with the illness end up in our ICU, potentially on a ventilator. And some people, with even all our modern technologies, some people succumb to it. The rate of that happening is about 10 times influenza. So influenza is a disease we take very seriously. This is something that's even more serious, and that's why we're worried about it.
Yeah, as Dr. Merchant says, this is brand new. We don't know enough about it, so precaution is what public health officials are preaching.
Montana Nurses Association CEO Vicki Bird made the point yesterday that COVID-19 is very contagious. And because health experts don't really know how it spreads between people who don't have symptoms, and because there is no known treatment, all we can do is keep people away from one another so the infection doesn't spread.
And the one thing that we know can mitigate how many people get infected and how many people end up in the hospital and on ventilators and die is that if we do social distancing.
What exactly does she mean when she says social distancing?
That's a term used by the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. CDC thinks the virus spreads from person to person who are in close contact, spread by little droplets you sneeze or cough. These droplets can land in the mouths or noses of people who are nearby and possibly be inhaled into the lungs. So if you're standing close enough to hit a person with your sneeze, you're too close.
That's gross.
Yep, cover your cough.
And wipe down surfaces. The National Institutes of Health, with a handful of partners, published in the New England Journal of Medicine last week that the virus stays viable in aerosols for up to 3 hours, 4 hours on copper surfaces, 24 hours on cardboard, and 2 to 3 days on plastic and stainless steel. And that study, just fun fact, was done right here in Montana at the Rocky Mountain Lab. So up to 2 to 3 days on plastic and stainless steel. For comparison, that's pretty similar to SARS, but that's quite a bit longer than influenza A. A 2011 study found that the flu can stay alive for 4 to 9 hours, depending on the surface.
So that's why health officials are recommending all the hand washing and wiping down frequently touched surfaces.
Right. But something health officials and scientists studying this illness haven't really figured out yet is that the virus is spreading before people show symptoms.
And that's why we're seeing all the closures. The point is to get people away from one another, reduce the chance they'll spread the virus when they seem healthy. This is called self-quarantine for people who may look healthy but may have been exposed. The goal is to keep them away from other people who haven't been exposed. Isolation is the term we use for people who we know are sick, but the goal is to remove the possibility of other contact and keep the virus from spreading. Once case numbers skyrocket, it's already too late. That's why we're seeing all the closures happen in Montana when, compared to other places around the world and nation, there are a lot fewer cases here.
So there are 45 cases in the state right now. That's up from just a week and a half ago when we had four. Corin, why aren't we doing a news story or update for every time there's a new case?
We know COVID-19 is in Montana. That's not the news anymore, and it's spreading faster and faster. Health officials say it's spreading from person to person in Gallatin County, and health officials say it's possible the virus is in places where nobody has tested positive yet. So we know it's here.
Mm-hmm. There will be a few times when we do cover new cases, when it's news, not that there's a case, but when it's news about who it impacts, like high-level state leaders or public health workers are infected, or when it's found in a new community for the first time, and unfortunately, when somebody dies.
And so we won't just cover the new cases, but what the cases are actually meaning for the state and the people who are impacted.
Stay safe out there. Thanks, Corin.
Thank you, Nikki.
Montana state lawmakers say the state government is flush with reserve cash as the COVID-19 pandemic creates economic uncertainty around the world. Analysts with the Montana Legislative Fiscal Division report the state's level of cash reserves, currently sitting at $464 million, is relatively high compared to most recent years. Nancy Balance, a Republican from Hamilton, is chair of the House Appropriations Committee.
We're all hoping it's a short term. We did not expect to be here, but the unexpected has caught us at a good time in terms of the state's finances.
Balance says if the state's crisis response to the novel coronavirus extends longer than a couple months, the state will likely have to dip into its reserves. Governor Steve Bullock's state of emergency order over COVID-19 opened up $16 million to spend on response efforts. Bullock would need approval from lawmakers to spend more than that. It's unlikely state lawmakers will need to meet in a special session to appropriate more funds for the government to run on. That's according to Ryan Osmundson, a Republican from Buffalo who chairs the Senate Finance and Claims Committee.
With the state that we're in, it looks very good that, we're not going to have to go back into session until 2021.
Money was flowing into the state coffers a tick higher than lawmakers projected a year ago, but legislative analysts say recent events will likely bring that revenue in line with expectations. The University of Montana is walking back an urgent message it sent out Sunday, telling students living in dorms to go home in order to prevent the spread of coronavirus on campus. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports.
UM students living in campus housing, like freshman Christopher Hurd, received an email, mostly in all caps, from the university Sunday.
And it said, urgently, you should move out as soon as you can because we're shutting down your access to the dorms on Tuesday morning.
Hurd said he originally planned to hunker down in the dorms for the semester with a friend when the university announced all classes would be held online earlier this month. But after receiving several messages from the university encouraging students to go home if they could, he booked a ticket back to Illinois for this upcoming Friday. Sunday's email changed those plans.
And so I basically could either be homeless for a few days and try to just camp and get my online classes done in public areas, or I could call the airline, get a closer ticket home. So that's what I ended up doing.
University of Montana spokesperson Paula Short says the email was a mistake.
We regret the anxiety that caused, and we subsequently sent out a clarification last night about an hour after the first message. And we've continued with additional clarifications today.
Short says students who don't have alternative housing plans will be able to remain on campus. She adds the university may ask students in shared housing units to move to an unoccupied unit in order to prevent any spread of COVID-19. The university is still surveying how many of the roughly 1,200 students living in residence halls plan to leave. So far, 356 students have reported leaving. The university plans to prorate meal plans and housing payments for those students. Montana's university system is encouraging all schools to do the same and expects the move will cost $14 million statewide. The university system expects an additional $4 million loss due to reduced sales and services on campuses and other fee reimbursements. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
The Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court is asking city and county judges to consider releasing from jail as many offenders as they can to prevent the spread of coronavirus. Chief Justice Mike McGrath wrote to judges asking them to review their jail rosters for inmates that could be released. Sunday was not church as usual for many congregations in Billings. Churches fall under Yellowstone County's closure order that bans gatherings of 10 or more people through April 10th as part of the effort to stem the spread of the coronavirus. Kay Erickson reports churches are increasingly turning to social media to stay connected with their congregations.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
Today we do gather on the fourth Sunday.
That's Bishop Michael Warfel of the Great Falls Billings Diocese celebrating Sunday Mass via social media from the chapel in his residence in Great Falls. He suspended all public Mass at least until the end of the month.
Although we're not under one roof right now, it's so incredible that we can still sing with a unified voice.
Some congregations, like Faith Evangelical Church in Billings, regularly offer online services, although the format has changed under the closure. First Presbyterian Church in Billings just started offering worship services online. This week's adult Sunday school class was posted sideways on the church's Facebook. Pastor Dave Thompson says this is a learning experience. All of this is happening during Lent, an important time in the Christian calendar leading up to Easter Sunday, April 12th. As of Monday, Yellowstone County's closure order ends on April 10th, which would cancel most of the events of Holy Week. But the closure may be extended, and that will impact Easter, and local pastors are starting to plan on how to celebrate Easter if that happens. Some, like Pastor Mike Nickerson with First United Methodist Church, will wait until the closures are ended.
We will celebrate Easter the first time we're back in our building, because that'll be a time of celebration in any case, and Easter will just make it better. And, of course, Easter is about new life.
In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson with Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Montana and Wyoming's governors, along with park and Gallatin County health officials, are asking Yellowstone National Park to close immediately to prevent visitors from potentially spreading COVID-19 in gateway communities and overwhelming local health care facilities. Rachel Kramer reports.
While March is a slower month for tourism, Park County Health Officer Laurel Desnick says Yellowstone National Park was busy this weekend.
I personally drove up there on Saturday to see for myself, and was quite shocked to see at Gardner and at the Mammoth Gate a non-stop stream of cars.
On Sunday, Park and Gallatin County health officials sent letters to Secretary of Interior David Bernhardt requesting the immediate closure of Yellowstone.
The concern is not that we don't want these people or don't trust these people. The concern is that should there be illness or even accidents, that we have a small critical access hospital in our county. It does not accommodate a large influx of tourists or travelers from other places.
A Yellowstone spokesperson Monday afternoon said the park was aware of the request to close and was closely monitoring the situation. The park closed the Albright Visitor Center and Boiling River Soaking Area last week until further notice. Glacier National Park released an Instagram post Sunday saying the Apgar and Lake McDonald areas were crowded this weekend as well, and that people were not adhering to the CDC's recommendations for 6 feet of distance. The post said crowds put park staff at higher risk to COVID-19 and urged visitors to spread out into less visited areas of the park, other public lands, and even their own backyards. For those who want to get some exercise at home, more gyms and fitness centers are live streaming classes. On Saturday, around 200 people broke a sweat during a free workout led by Zypher Cycling Studio in Bozeman.
What do you say, 30 seconds of mountain climbers to end this thing? Let's go. We climb our mountains, we don't carry them.
time in 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop it down.
With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
The Montana Nurses Association says it's time for bold measures to defend against the growing COVID-19 crisis. The organization's CEO, Vicki Bird, penned an open letter to Governor Steve Bullock Friday, asking him to order Montanans to stay home. The group also wants the state to close all non-essential businesses until further notice. The MNA's 3,000 members are working on the front lines of the pandemic. Bird tells Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien that while the state's doing a very good job overall of handling the crisis, a shelter-in-place order is needed.
We know that this is quite virulent and so infectious. And the one thing that we know can mitigate how many people get infected and how many people end up in the hospital and on ventilators and die is that if we do social distancing. We know the one thing that will take care of this virus is if we don't spread it to anybody any further. We have a unique opportunity to jump way ahead and not wait till it skyrockets where we have to call in the National Guard. By then, it's too late.
How long would Montanans need to self-quarantine in order for it to be effective, to be of any use?
Some are saying anywhere from 15 days, but we can see that that's not holding or really helping or mitigating it. Let's look forward to what we can do to track the data. And once we see the spike then start coming down, then you start allowing the people back out and back to work. It's going to be life-changing, and we get that. But you know what? I think we could take a jump forward and just ask everybody to shelter in place, and let's take care of each other here in our beautiful state of Montana.
Any word back from the administration?
Nope, we haven't heard back from anyone.
Everybody's always asking this. I may as well join the fray. Is there enough testing so far?
Absolutely not, and we know that from state to state. You know, people being turned away unless you're in the hospital or deathly ill. We definitely need more testing. And for our nurses and healthcare workers on those front lines, we definitely need more PPE, the personal protective equipment. Homemade masks are not going to do it.
The state says it's doing enough. So then what's the point of disagreement? Why not let this thing right now just play itself out?
Well, here's a really good example. Washington State, just on March 10th, they had 276 cases and they had 26 deaths. Now on March 22nd, 1,996 cases and 95 deaths. Let's jump ahead of the curve before Montana starts mirroring these other states that are now calling out national disasters, and Washington State is now one of them. We just want to prevent as much of that mitigation as we can.
Who would you consider essential workers who should be allowed to keep going to work?
Well, of course, the essential workers are healthcare, right? You know, it's a tough call. I believe there's definitions on shelter in place and essential workers. So I guess I would just embrace what those are. And I don't, you know, have it right in front of me. But the businesses that can provide takeout food, grocery stores, pharmacies, you know, all of that, what we've heard on the press, we would support that.
Are Montanans taking this seriously enough? And I'm going to sound like a grumpy grandpa when I say this, but this weekend in Missoula, it was absolutely beautiful. And I saw young people hanging out in groups, playing Frisbee, enjoying a few beers in the backyard. What sort of risk are they putting themselves in, not to mention the entire community? I get the sense younger people think this is an old person problem.
And that's where we really have to educate and inform them that social distancing is going to be what saves your father or your grandfather, your mother or your grandmother, maybe even your brothers and sisters, because now we know, yes, it's very virulent for those 60 and over, but that young age group is definitely being impacted for this. And how do we get them to wrap their hands around that? Because I know it is all about them, but they're really good at social media. So you know what? Start Zooming and Skyping, and if you're going to be around each other, stay 6 feet apart. Sit around on chairs and visit or be in the park, but don't go by each other. Have good hand washing. now.
Vicki Bird, CEO of the Montana Nurses Association, thank you.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.